Good morning. In Psalm 42, to the chief musicians, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. A lot of people attribute this psalm to David, but it's not. It's one of, or several of, the sons of Korah who rebelled against Moses and Aaron. So God is a God of restoration. It says here in verse 1, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Well, I'm here to tell you that today our God is here. He's here with us right now. Not because he was waiting for us to get here this morning, we brought him with us. So this is the house of the Lord because we are the house of the Lord. Amen. Would you stand with me? Father, we just ask right now, Lord, that our souls would thirst for you. Yes, Lord, that our mind, will, and emotions, Lord, would desire you more. Lord, we know our spirits are connected with you. Our spirits are alive in God. But Lord, let our souls today, let us turn our souls, God, to you, Lord. Help us, Lord, if we're not thirsting right now. Help us, Lord, if we're not hungry right now. Put that in us, Lord, a deep hunger, a deep thirst for the great things of God, Lord, and what you want to do in our lives. Lord, we surrender our hearts, we surrender our lives, and we surrender this service into your hands. We just ask that you would do above and beyond all we could ever ask or think this morning, Lord. Jesus, you are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our attention. You're worthy of all our focus. And we turn our eyes to you, Lord. We turn our eyes to the Lord, our God. We turn our eyes to our Heavenly Father. And we say, fill us, Lord, afresh and anew this morning. Fill us, Lord, with that living water so we would thirst no more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Set our hearts on you. How I
just one way. Show your voice in all of the mundane things. You're in the in-between. You're in my everything. And that's all I really need. My soul sings in the morning. I love the King and He loves me. And all that I'm compelled to bring is my everyday offering. Oh. And let my worship be more than just singing. When did music become a religious thing? Yeah, let these songs be with their meant to be the sound of your church awakening. Help my heart to keep up with the heavens, where the angels sing 24/7 praise. You're more than enough to get through my rock. You're teaching me Monday morning faith, and that's all.
Holy, holy, glory to God. and he loves me and all that I'm compelled to do. It's my everyday offering. Your mercy's new every morning. I come alive as you holy, all that I'm compelled to do is my everyday offering. Hell's not scared of a Sunday fate if it only leads to empty praise. What really makes darkness run is when the saints arise in quiet on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, to know you, to love you, to choose you first on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, to see you, behold you, worship, singing hallelujah, holy, holy, glory to the King of
anointed one who was and is to come.
it's all about you. And it's crazy, Lord, we make it all about you. You make it all about us. Thank you, Lord. You deserve the glory. Thank you, Lord, for being the one that we can worship. The true living God that we can worship. And they're not empty words. They go before your very throne room. Become incense before your throne. But Lord, let it not just be this Sunday that we make you worthy of it all. Let it be, as that song says, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Lord, we make you worthy of it all. The way that we live, Lord, let it reflect, Lord, that you're worthy of it all. The way that we speak, Lord, let it prove that you are worthy of it all. In our actions, Lord, in our deeds, Lord, in our heart and in our soul, Lord, let us live as you are worthy of it all, because you are. One more time, Eric. You're worthy of it all.
Because you're worthy of it all.
Just the voices.
You're worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Yes, Lord, all of the glory, all of the glory. It's yours, it's yours, it's yours. All of the glory, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just want to lift Gabe before your throne of grace right now, Lord. God, you are her healer. You are the one, Lord, that gives her the ability, Lord, to move and live and have her being in you, Lord. And we pray, God, that today, Lord, she would receive the healing, Lord, that her body needs. Lord, let today be the day, Lord, that she receives healing, Lord, from her arthritis, Lord. Healing, Lord, from all of her heart conditions, Lord. Healing from everything in her body. Let today be the day, Lord. As we prayed last night, Lord, you declared that you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the Lord that healeth thee. You're her healer, Lord. We stand in the gap for her right now and say, healing, let it be her portion today. In Jesus' name, touch her right now, wherever she may be, Lord. If she's asleep, Lord, if she's sitting, we pray, God, that you would flood her with the healing power of the Holy Spirit from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone else here sick today? Everybody's healthy. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yes, you're Louise's healer, Lord. You are her Jehovah Rapha, Lord. We just agree with that prayer right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, if there's any other infirmities in this house right now, Lord, ones that maybe we don't even know about, Lord, we just declare that you are our healer. that you are our portion, Lord, and part of that is healing, Lord. It was in the work of the cross. By your stripes, Lord, we are healed. I receive that, Lord, right now for Gay, Lord, and for Louise, Lord, for anyone else, Lord. We declare that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that means that he's our healer forever. He's our healer today, and he was his healer back then. He's never changed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the truth of your word. We choose to believe your word, Lord, over every symptom, every report, Lord. However we feel, Lord, we choose to believe your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll praise the Lord. Greet someone. Love on someone. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Thank you, team.
All right, good morning. Why don't you guys stand with me? We are going to do a declaration over our valley. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. All right, let's do this together in unison on three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, and that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. God, we just thank you so much for what you're doing in our city, God, what you're doing in our valley, what you're doing, Lord, in all the surrounding areas. We thank you so much, Jesus, that you are with us, God, that you are guiding us, God, that you are leading, Lord, our leaders, God. You're leading our mayor. You're leading the politicians, God. You're leading our police department, God, and that you are with them, God. We thank you, Lord, for the part that we have to play in it, God, that our church has to play in it, and pray, God, that we could be a representation of heaven in our respective parts of our city, God. We thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy over this place, and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Not many announcements at all today. Just our giving. Thank you guys for giving to the house of God and pouring into what we're doing here at One Life Family Worship. As you know, we have our chest up here, and you can give online, and we have a slot in the back. And yeah, we appreciate you guys showing in to what God is doing at One Life Family Worship. And yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are continuing to share on. I asked Jesse, I said, Jesse, you know the title of the message? He goes, it's probably something to do with the power of prayer. I said, yes, it is. How many know that as I've been really pondering, you know, this idea of prayer, there's a lot of messages in the Bible on prayer. And some of them you don't necessarily think about that it's prayer, but it really is. And so today isn't necessarily one of those messages. I think this is pretty obvious that it's about prayer. But we are being called. Do you guys know what a calling is? The calling is when you are being basically communicated to by something or someone. And in this case, it's God. You know, you guys have received a call that you need to go and help somebody before, right? Someone's got a flat tire or their car needs to be jumped or something like that. Well, that's kind of like a calling, but these callings are for particular, you know, for God's, could be for a whole life, could be for a season. And right now, we as a church, as a body of believers, as a family of faith, are being called to be a house of prayer. And not just a house of prayer so that we have a label. You know, it's always nice to maybe have a label. Like I'm it's a lot of people call me Pastor Mike, and it's a label, Pastor, but it's just a name unless I live that out. And the same thing, we're if we're just like say, oh, we're a house of prayer, but we don't live that out, We don't become a house of prayer in our daily devotions, in our time when we gather. If we don't spend really time seeking the Lord, then it's just a label. And I don't want it to be a label. I want it to be who Jesus has called us to be, and that's a house of prayer for all nations. Isaiah 56:7 says, "Even them I will bring to my holy mountain." And who's this talking about? Talking about us. This is talking about us. This was at that time in Isaiah, the Gentiles, a nation that did not know God. Most of them were all idolatrous. There were some that were seeking the true God because they had been told about, you know, the Jewish God and the Hebrew God, and they wanted to worship who they thought the true God was. But most of them were just all living for their own lives and trying to please all of the so-called gods out there so that they could have good crops and all of that. Jesus is saying, even them, those ones that don't know me, I will bring to my holy mountain. This holy mountain is my Mount Zion, and that's where we gather as people of God when we come together. We don't gather on Mount Sinai where, you know, the thunder and the lightning was going. We gather in Mount Zion, and Mount Zion is the place of God, the mountain of God, the house of prayer. It says, "And I will make them a joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." But encourage all of you to come as close as you can to memorize this verse. You know, maybe just me reading it every Sunday will get it drilled in. But try to purpose that in your heart, to let that seep in. And keep in mind again that Jesus rebuked all of the religious leaders who were set up in his temple and they were using it for their own gain. He, not just the religious leaders, the people who were money changers, everybody sitting there trying to make their killing on worshiping God. They were making it all about a tradition and a religion instead of a relationship. So, house prayer. I left that in here. I didn't have one there. But house prayer was at our house last night, and it was awesome. It was awesome. You know why? Because we gathered together. It doesn't have to be that, you know, we every single time it's the same, or you experience, you know, the same anointing. But I'm telling you, when we gather together in his name as his people, he does something, just like this morning. And if you can give your time to one of these house prayers, I guarantee you will be blessed. I'm always blessed. I haven't missed one yet. Might be hard for me to miss one. That's probably a good thing, right? Keeps me on the hook. But I'm telling you, I think you're almost the same. I don't think you've missed one yet, have you? You missed one? Oh, okay, I forgive you. But it's okay. You've been to a lot of them, and they're all amazing. And you know what it does? It's a seed for Sunday. But it's not just a seed for Sunday. It's a seed for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Because you're sowing in to prayer. And guess what? You want to pray more. Some of you say, "Well, Pastor, I just don't feel like praying." Well, then come to a house of prayer. Or start your morning and say, "Lord, I don't feel like praying. But, you know, Pastor says that it's a pretty good thing to do." No, I don't say it's a pretty good thing to do. God says it's a good thing to do. I'm just repeating what the Word says all through the Bible. If you can, make it to a house of prayer. Or make your house a house of prayer. That would be even better. Or do both. So the power of prayer today is the three levels of prayer. The three levels of prayer. And I want to remind you again of the acronym Purposeful Requests Aligning Your Eternal Reality. If you think that prayer is just you giving God your wish list, you're wrong. Prayer is you aligning your heart, your life, your soul, mind, will, and emotions to God's will for your life. And your prayer time will do that. I guarantee it. All right, we're going to start off here by looking at a verse, a very familiar verse in the Bible, Luke 11:9-13. "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened.
If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we're going to really focus on verses 9 and 10 today. We'll look at 11 through 13 next week. But what I want to focus on right now is this idea of ask, seek, and knock. How many, when you first read your Bible, went like, wow, this is interesting. I remember I did. It's like, what is this? Well, he kind of gives you a little bit of what this is about, because the previous verses talk about this crazy story where this neighbor of this guy is going to his friend's house or his neighbor's house, and he's knocking at midnight on his house. And he's saying, hey, open up. I need to get some food. What's going on? Somebody just came traveling. You know, people would travel long distances, and sometimes they wouldn't get to towns till late at night. My friend just came in, and he's hungry. I don't have any food. Do you have some food? Go away. My family's asleep. We're in bed, and I don't have time for this. Kept knocking. I need some food. My friend just traveled long, you know, so he keeps pestering him. Finally, he gets down, gets him some food, go away, gets it to him. And then Jesus talks about this story or this metaphor here about that situation. Now, in my studies, I found out that we read this from a Western culture, and we think, wow, this guy was rude to go be knocking on this guy's door at midnight. But I found out in those Eastern cultures, the guy who was rude was the guy who didn't get up, because hospitality was everything and is everything in the Eastern culture. So it was known that you needed to go and help. So there's just a little FYI that I didn't know. So when I read this years ago, ask, seek, and knock, I just thought, you know, this is just God just telling us that we need to pray. That's the way that I looked at it. And as I grew in my reading of the word and listening to messages and looking at the Greek, I discovered, and different translations, I discovered that there's more going on here than just, I don't know why that one doesn't switch, than just the idea of a prayer. There's little nuances to this Greek, and I talked about this before, that we miss in our English. And unless you add other words, you'll miss what it's saying. Not that you need to know this, but it's the present imperative. Nope, I'm messing it up. Anyway, it means that it's an active verb that continually goes on. And so what we have here is, in Luke 11, 9 through 10, the NLT does a really pretty good job. And I tell you, keep on asking. It's not just ask one time. It's keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. So this is kind of communicating a little bit different. You know, sometimes when we think of asking, you can think of one of the kids at the house. You know, they go to their parent and they say, hey, can I have a toy? You know, and they're in the store and, no, you can't have a toy today, you know, and you know, we're low on money, you know, and they just go away, you know, or they sit there and don't say anything. But another one of the kids says, can I have a toy? And it's like, no, I just told your brother you can't have a toy. But no, can I have a toy? I like this toy, you know, this toy, you know, it matches my eyes or whatever. You know? In other words, she's going to keep asking, which one's going to probably get the toy? The one that keeps bugging mom. Keep on asking. It's not that we're bugging God, you know, because it sounds like that, doesn't it? Keep on asking. You know, well, God's just, you know, wanting me to ask over 100 times, and then all of a sudden he'll do what I'm asking for. And we'll see that that's not really the case. we'll see that there is another purpose to our continuing to ask, our continuing to seek, and our continuing to knock. If we look at another translation, we can see that the NLT went into a good realm, but didn't quite go far enough. The Williams translation says this: "So I tell you, keep on asking, and the gift will be given you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives." It's not asks again, it's keep on. That same active verb is taking place here. "And the one who keeps on seeking finds, and the one who keeps on knocking, the door will be open." So what's this telling me? This is telling me more prayer is better than less prayer. That was a statement that I heard from Pastor Ken years ago. And I said, well, that's pretty simple, but it's really true. More prayer is better than less prayer. That is good. Yeah, thank you. So let's look at kind of my thought process I went through this week. As I was thinking about this verse and thinking, yeah, I need to communicate on asking, keep seeking, and knocking. Because, you know, I know that truth. And I want people to know that asking and seeking and knocking is a continual process. I want us as a body to understand, as houses of prayer, we need to keep this going on. So I'm thinking about this, and I'm processing this, and I come to a revelation of something different. I've always thought, as it says here, that those were three ways of describing the same thing. Have you guys ever thought about that? It's just Jesus just saying, you know, if you ask, you receive. If you keep on asking, you receive. If you keep on knocking, keep on seeking, you're going to find. And he's just talking about prayer and just in general. But that's not all that's going on. I would say that's maybe not even the whole. I think I personally have missed this all my 40-something years being saved. So what is it? I believe it's three levels of prayer. I believe it's not just Jesus in general communicating about the idea that you need to pray, and that's either by asking, seeking, or knocking. But it's different levels of prayer that we can move into as his people. So let's go ahead and take a look at this ask. If you think asking is, like if you ask somebody for something, or you call somebody up for something, it's just you're looking to receive something. It's like you're after a need to be met in your life. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with starting with prayer, just starting to ask. It's a simple verbal request and acknowledging dependence and a personal lack of resources. Give us this day, Lord, our daily bread, right? That's part of our prayer. But the command is to keep on asking, and the Greek word in its nuance is ateo, and it's to petition a superior. In its very root form, it means to beg. If you think of somebody that is without, when they ask for alms, they ask for things that they need, it's like begging. So this is the very baseline of prayer that we need to start with. It's just asking God for our needs. But the problem is, it is an impersonal type. Even though we say we're praying to God, I remember when I first started praying, it's like, yes, you know, you're starting to know God, or maybe even before I knew God, maybe I even threw up prayers before. But there was no connection. You know, I've heard of people who were in hospitals and one of their daughters or their sons were sick, or their husband, and they just started praying, but they necessarily didn't even know God at the time. They're just asking, can you heal my family? Can you help? I need, and they're just crying out. They're just asking, but there's no real connection there. If we look at John 14, 13 through 14, Jesus says this: "You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." That does sound like one of those kind of name it and claim it, doesn't it, verses that have been out there. But it's in his name is the key. It's in his character. It's not just in Jesus' name I ask this. It's in his name. It's in who he is we're asking. We're asking in his will as well. We're asking in his desires, not our desires. And you know what? When we ask in that way, in Jesus' name, we get what we ask for. Yeah, it is so good. Thank you, Lord. So we need to ask. There's nothing wrong with asking, and keep on asking. But it's the beginning of a stair step, I believe, into a deeper relationship with God. James says this at James 4, 2D. It's like one of the last points he makes in this verse. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. I think it's the King James Version that says, you have not because you ask not. So if we're not asking, what do you think is if we're not asking God for something, what do you think is the outcome? We're not receiving something, right? He goes on another place, and then you're asking for certain things, and you're not receiving them because you're asking in the wrong motive and the wrong will. So we need to ask, but we need to make sure our hearts are right. That's why when I start prayer, I'm saying, Lord, thank you for being my Savior. I'm positioning myself in a place of humility and reliance upon God in my prayer. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's talk about seeking. If asking is, thinking of it this way, asking is like you're sitting in your chair and you're asking, you know? Doesn't necessarily have to be any movement at all. But seeking requires movement. Seeking requires, I liken it to this, if you think about it, you know, when we come to church on Sunday, it's easy to pray together, you know, and maybe some of you join in with me when I'm praying, Lord, move in this place, touch our hearts, and you're agreeing, and you're agreeing with what I'm asking for. But the seeking level is like when you leave here on Sundays and you go, you know what? I want to know more. I want to go deeper into what Pastor Mike started sharing on, or what the Lord, maybe the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. Son, daughter, I want to know you and want you to know me like I know you. I want to have a relationship with you where you're starting to know my heart. You're starting to know how I think. You're not starting to know my ways as Moses knew God's ways. And then you start to position your life and even, you know, time out your life in such a way that you're seeking God in that prayer life. That's like starting to walk. That's like starting to move your feet. It's actually another level of action. Asking is can be positioned, seating, or on your knees. But when you're starting to seek, you're moving. I look at it this way. Coming on a Saturday night to a house prayer, that's another level of asking. You're now changing your routine. And I believe that's another level of seeking. Let's look at this verse. Jeremiah 29:13. When you seek me in prayer and worship, you will find me available to you if you seek me with all your heart and soul. That's really kind of the key, is to make sure that your soul is engaged. And sometimes that means you have to say no to things that your soul wants, that your desires want, instead of spending time with God. Sometimes your soul wants to sleep. Anybody say amen to that? Sometimes your soul wants to, you know, stay home on a Saturday night and say, you know, I just want to chill. I've had a hard, busy week, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, yeah, amen. but I'm telling you, sometimes you have to tell your soul, no, soul, my soul wants to long for the Lord. My soul wants to experience a better life and a better peace and a better joy. But yet your spirit has to be sometimes in charge for your soul to follow. You let your body run your soul, and you're going to want to sleep those extra hours. You're going to want to stay home when you have an, maybe it's not a Sunday night prayer. Maybe it's just that you have an opportunity to go spend some time with somebody that's going to encourage your heart in Christ. And you just say, oh, I don't want to take the time. You know, I have so many other things to do. You know, I've got to catch up on my social media or whatever it is, you know. We can be captivated, that is for sure. Hebrews 11:6 in the NIV says this, and without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who earnestly, some translations say diligently, seek him. He rewards us for seeking. You know, in asking we receive, so we get something. But in seeking, there's rewards that come. I think the idea of a prayer closet is where rewards come. It says what your father sees you doing in secret, he does what? He rewards you openly. In other words, let's say that you're going to your prayer closet. You're seeking the Lord. You're seeking the Lord for one of your family members to be saved. And you're not telling them, you're just praying. You're asking God, work in their life, open their eyes, cause, you know, people to be sent their way that speak truth to them, whatever it may be. And you start praying that on a regular basis, not just one time. You're devoted to that time of spending time praying for your family members, as well as other things. But say it's a family member, and then 6 months, 2 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years down the road, you hear that they're starting to go to church, or that they gave their heart to the Lord. You're being rewarded openly. You may not get the credit, but God's saying, I hear your prayers, and here's an answer. I think that's pretty good. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. Let's talk about knocking. Knocking is arriving at the threshold and persistent and confident relational intimacy until the doors open. You know, when you are a family member of someone's, like a child or your son or daughter, or you're going to a grandma and grandpa's and you knock on the door, there's an expectancy, you know. I know when my grandkids come over and they're knocking and they're coming over and seeing Nana and Papa, and they're coming in and, you know, they've got an expectancy, you know, that they're going to get to spend time with us. But also we usually have like little treats, and they'll go over to the jar, and it's fruit snacks that we have for them, you know, and they, can I have? Yes, of course you have. That's there for you. There's an expectancy. There's an understanding of who we are. There's an understanding of that they have relationship with us. And so that knocking is like a deeper level. See, when we're knocking in this spiritual realm, we're now pressing into a deeper opening into God. I think it's this way. There years ago I came to the understanding of Hebrews 4:16. Always love Hebrews 4:12, you know, that the word of God is living and active. And that was one I'd always hang on. But then, you know, I was reading Hebrews and I got down to 4:16, verse 16. And it said this, come boldly before the throne of grace, where you may obtain or find mercy and help in time of need. All of a sudden, my eyes just opened up. It's like, what? I can come boldly before his throne? I can knock and enter the very presence of God. I've told you this before. The renewing of the mind means that we have to think differently. It's so easy to just say, well, you know, we're just coming to church. We're sitting in seats. You know, we're looking at a screen. We're singing some songs. And you can describe it on all of these physical attributes that we do. Maybe in mental gymnastics that we do through the service, you know, greeting each other and all of that, you know. And it just, you know, it could just be an experience in the natural. But it's never meant to be that. It's meant to be something supernatural that we're doing here. I've had some people say, well, you know, I've gone to church. I really didn't feel anything. Well, I'm telling you, that's not a good way to think about it. Because what you're doing now is you're expecting for your natural feelings to be the way that you know God's doing something. How do we know that God's doing something? Because he says he will do something. He is a do something God. And so when we get together, he's doing something. Well, what if I don't see it? It doesn't matter. He's doing something. I believe that all the years that I've gone to church on Sundays and spent time in Bible studies and everything, God did something in me. It wasn't just because, you know, one day I read the Bible or I prayed a certain way and boom, I was like this. No, God continued to do something in me. A little word here, a little encouragement from somebody there. Maybe just the presence of the Holy Spirit removed some things that I wasn't even aware of. That's why Paul said, don't forsake the assembling together, as is the manner of some. Because a lot of things get done just in just this hanging out together. But knocking, it's another level of relationship. Let's go to Revelations chapter 3, verse 20. Now, there's not a lot of knocking verses. I'll just tell you, I'm not knocking the knocking verses, but there's not a lot of them. But I think this is a great one because I think this says if we're knocking, then we're a lot like Jesus. Because if you look here, Revelation 3:20, Williams says, I am now standing at the door and knocking. This is Jesus saying, I'm standing at the door knocking. He's telling the Laodicean church, listen, I want to come in. Says, if anyone listens to my voice and opens the door, I will be his guest and feast with him and he with me. Does that sound like deep, deep, deep interaction? Doesn't sound like just asking, does it? Doesn't sound like just seeking. God's knocking on our door. And he wants us to be people who knock on God's door, who are not satisfied with status quo. Do you guys know what status quo is? As it was yesterday, it is today. You know, it's the rut life. You get in your car, you drive the same tracks to work. You take the same route every single day. You stop at the same coffee shop. You know, you eat the same lunch, whatever it is. That's like status quo. But that's not who we're to be. For the longest time, and it has been a long time, that I would come to church and it was status quo. And I've asked for forgiveness because my expectancy level had gone down. Even though I would tell people, no, God's doing stuff. I knew he was doing stuff. But I wasn't pressing in to him doing stuff. I wasn't letting him cause my heart to want more. For whatever reason, you know, his grace has changed that in me, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be here. If it was just one of you, I would be excited to be here. I have to tell you, I started the music last night. Gay was in the room because she's not doing well. We prayed about it. I started the music, nobody was there yet, and already I was having a good time. Because I knew this time had been set aside. Now, when people started to come in, awesome, praise God, but I would have been fine had it just been me. Why? Because he's going to do something when we approach him. And he likes to do things. Especially when he's blessing his children. Praise you, Jesus. So, I want to talk about three ways to purchase eggs, especially in this day and age. How many of you ever buy something online? I do all the time. I love it. How many order a Walmart order and they deliver it to you? Well, you get it too way out, or you're out there. Okay. So you can get online and you can get your eggs delivered. You might need to buy a few more things. You're going to get a hefty charge for shipping. Oh, you don't order your groceries. Yeah. Okay. Well, I do. You guys are looking at me like you're crazy. Yeah. there's certain things you can get from Walmart. I wouldn't get their produce, okay? Because the person just grabs it and just giving you an inside tip there. But it's kind of distant, wouldn't you say? Very impersonal. I mean, a lot of times it's delivered and I don't even see the person that delivered it. Sometimes I'm getting things I have to sign for stuff. You know, like sometimes my meds come and I have to sign for it. Or we order like a cold medicine because it's got something in it that's, you know, a narcotic. I have to sign for it. And when the person, I hear him at the door and I go out there and wait, thank you. I try to make it somewhat personal, but it's pretty impersonal. That's what asking in prayer is like. Pretty impersonal. You say, well, no, I'm praying to God. You are. But how much of your heart is involved in communing with him? We got to get beyond just asking. But then you go to another level. You can actually go to a store. You can get in your car. You can drive into your parking spot there and try to get as close as you can if that's the way you like to go. When I'm with Gay, she likes to be as close as we can. When I get there, I try to go as far away so I can get some steps in. Anybody else there? And I walk fast. But it's more engaging, right? You know, you're having to exude some energy. And you go, and sometimes you see people, and you see that, you know, Jesse was really good at Albertsons on 40th. He knew most everybody's name. I would go with him, and I felt guilty. He started, how's your family? It's like, dude, I'm a pastor, and I don't do that, you know? The point being is that there is some engagement, right? It's a little more personal, but it requires effort. And that's what the seeking part of prayer. You have to start getting the wheels turning. You've got to start purposing in your own life what you're going to do to establish a seeking mentality. I can't do it for you. I've said before, I'm not going to sleep beside your bed tomorrow morning, set an alarm, and wake you up and say, hey, it's time to seek the Lord. Now, I'll tell you, if you ask Holy Spirit will. If you say, Holy Spirit, I want to get up, and you can have your alarm set for a time, but if you ask Holy Spirit to wake you up, guess who will wake you up? Unless you start turning over and ignoring him. Then you've got to repent and say, okay, I'm sorry. Would you please start waking me up again? But I mean, I prayed before, Holy Spirit, would you wake me at 3:00? And my eyes open up. I'm like, oh, what's going on? I look, 3 a.m. Holy Spirit, you're good. Why? Because he wants us to seek him. Now, I'm not telling you to go for 3 a.m. You know, that is a hardcore number. But if you set your alarm for 15 minutes earlier is all, then what you normally get up and say, that 15 minutes is God's. Nobody else's. Not going to get on my phone, not going to answer phone calls, not going to respond to texts. I'm going to use those 15 minutes to seek. He'll honor those. And he'll change your life with those 15 minutes. Make it 5 minutes if that's all you can give right now. But whatever you can give and you devote to him, do it with all your heart, with all your soul, diligently seek him, and he will change your life. You won't be the same in Jesus' name. And then there's another way. I don't hardly ever do this, but you can go out and you can go into the countryside where these farmers have these chickens. You ever seen a chicken other than, you know, in your oven or like in a Costco spigot spinning? They're real. Chickens are real. Some people say, I haven't really hardly engaged with chickens. Some people have them in their backyard. But I'm telling you, you can get eggs from a farmer. You could go, and you can know him personally. Say, hey, I'm here to pick up my eggs. He knows you by name, and you know him by name. And those eggs can be really good, I understand, because they're fresh, and they're organic, and they have a lot of nutrients. That's another level of prayer. Where you're engaging with God in a way that things that he has for you are coming into you and you're bringing them back into him, and it's your deeps going to his deep, and an exchange, a divine exchange is taking place. And you know, the only thing that changed from seeking to knocking is your heart. That same 15 minutes every morning could be knocking time. Because you don't approach it like, well, I'm just seeking God. No, you know you're meeting with God and you're coming to him and you're going where he resides because he lives in you. And when you approach him, he's ready to receive you. He's not looking at your faults and your failures. He's looking at Jesus. He says, come on, my son, I'm ready to engage with you in a way that will transform your life. Three levels of prayer, it's three levels of relationship. Asking can be distant, impersonal, and superficial. Seeking can be engaging, close, and you start to develop a connection. But knocking is devoted, there's a loyalty, and there's a communion. There's literally an exchange, a partnership that starts to take place. And I believe that that's what it means to be a house of prayer. Because it was God's temple, right? It's where he resided. And when we're a house of prayer, I believe we're knocking people. We're continually knocking. And we're continually, yes, getting answers for things that we need. And we're continually finding things that we need. But most of all, we're receiving the door being open. And we're entering into deep, deep, deep personal relationship with God himself. And as we'll see next week, the greatest gift that we receive out of everything we ever ask is Holy Spirit. I'm going to leave you with this thought. This was an early 200 AD Christian. That's early 200s. He says that the person who prays is being formed into someone who can receive the answer. That's what's happening. God's changing us so that we can receive. Can you imagine how spoiled we would be if we just always asked and just received? I don't know if you've ever been around a person who always asked and just received. It's pretty hard to be around them sometimes because they don't really have a concept of real life. So when we're seeking, when we're praying, when we're knocking, God's doing something in us. He's preparing us to receive. Where we can ask anything in Jesus' name, and he will do it. Praise God. So with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, love God, but also move into those three levels of prayer. If you have to just start with 15 minutes of just asking, start there. God's just excited that you're approaching him. But don't stay there. Move into seeking. And then finally start knocking on his door. And enter into a relationship that others will be jealous of and desire for themselves. And I think if all of us as believers in this world would start living in this knocking stage, we would start to see our world changed. Why? Because we change. And when we change, guess what? We change our environment. We change our world. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for these truths of three levels of prayer that we can keep on asking, we can keep on seeking, and we can keep on knocking. And Lord, you'll be there to answer. Lord, prepare us as your people, Lord, to be ones that are true houses of prayer for all the nations of this world. For our family first, Lord. But then, Lord, for our neighborhoods, Lord, our workplaces, God, our schools, Lord. Every area in this Yakima Valley, Lord, that we can make a difference. Let us be houses of prayer, Lord, where we are being formed into people that can receive the answer. Thank you, Lord.
And who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you.
God anointed one who was and is to come, seated on a throne above. Seated on the throne above, holy, holy, righteous one, who shed his blood, who proved to us the Father's love. Jesus Christ be lifted up. And who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? And there is no is worthy, and there is no one, only you, Jesus. There is no one, only you, Jesus. And there is no one, only you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord, there's no one. Only you, Jesus. You're the reason we ask and keep on asking, Lord. You're the reason, Lord, that we seek and keep on seeking, Lord. You're the reason, Lord, that we knock and keep on knocking, Lord, because you are worthy. You are worthy of our time. You're worthy of our attention. And Lord, you're worthy of our prayers. So I encourage everyone to start the process of your level of prayers. Maybe you're already knocking. Praise God. Knock harder. Maybe you're already seeking. Seek more and move into knocking. And maybe you're already asking. Move into seeking. Change your position. Change your time zone. Change, walk. Do something different. Change what you do. Don't stay in a routine. And maybe you haven't started asking yet. Start asking. Because he's waiting for you. He's looking for you. I'd go so far to say he misses you. Bless y'all. Have a great week. Love y'all.